Let's briefly chazer with a mashal. Emshel chamashal amad avadome. Imagine if the Chachamim would have said that sheep in the chasim has value, but it's also dangerous. It has value in terms of debtors getting access to credit. It makes lending more attractive to creditors if there's a sheep in the chasim available. Makes it less risky, and therefore debtors can get the credit that they need, can get the loans that they need. On the other hand, Shibun Nechasim is dangerous for buyers, because I'm going to buy karka from someone who happens to be a debtor, the creditor will come after me. Right? So in the examples we've been giving, Shibun Nechasim is great for Elisha, because I'm more likely to want to lend to Elisha if the Shibun Nechasim. On the other hand, Shibun Nechasim is horrible for Tzvi, because he innocently bought land from Elisha. Next thing he knows, I come and seize it because of Elisha's unpaid debts. So the Chacham could have said, look, if I lend the money to Elisha in Shul, and everyone's watching, and it's a whole hop, if I lend money to Elisha in the annex of the Beis Medrash, it's not a whole hop. So then the sheep and the chasim, because everyone knows about it, there's a call. Chacham could have, they didn't, but they could have said, but if I lend money to Elisha in my private office, when no one sees, so then there's no sheep and the chasim. They could have said, alone birshus harabim generates sheep and the chasim, alone birshus hayachid does not generate sheep and the chasim. That would be very sensible. Birshus harabim, there's more call. Instead, Chazal said something similar but not the same. They said that if there's a shtar attached to the halva, then there's going to be more of a kol, but then there's a shibun nechasim. There's no shtar, milvah peh, there's not so much kol, no shibun nechasim. What that captures is as we unpacked yesterday, the distinction between milva bishtar and milva balpeh is, number one, derabbanan in origin. Min ha-Torah, either there's always shibud or there's never shibud. Either shibud deraisa across the board or shibud alav deraisa across the board. That's certainly the presentation in Bava Basra, Kuf, Ayin, Hey, and Beis, Achalukas Rabba and Ula. The distinction between milva balpeh and milva bishtar is A, number one, purely drabanan. And number two, the rationale for the distinction is kol. Milva bishtar, Tzvi is more likely to be able to hear about the loan between me and Elisha. Milva peh, there isn't kol. It's going to be harder for Tzvi to discover that Elisha owes me money. The shtar is merely a hechatimtza to generate more noise, to generate more hak. It could have also been, again, Chazal could have said, how many people were around? Chazal could have said, was it in shul, was it in a private office? Birshus harabim, birshus hayachid. So instead, the way they set up the din drabanan is shtar versus milvapeh. Which is why, as Rabbi Chanan points out, the second daya in Rashi, Gittin Gimel Beis, the daya which Tosfos supports vigorously, there may be support from Gemara's later in Gittin Daf Pei Vav or Beis, but in Svara it seems shocking. Oh, what is that? The Lazar of Meir here are 100, but the lumdus of how does a Kenyan Shtar work? How does Shtar Kenyan work? Who cares? I mean, it's very important, but it's irrelevant to Shtar Chov. It's irrelevant to Gevia from Mishubadim. Gevia Mishubadim has to do with the Shtar as a Hechatimtza. Psychological reality of how much are people talking about it. Nothing to do with the lumdus of is the kinyan shtar tolling hasposis raya or kinyan shtar tolling in sipur dvar and bechsav. Machlokis remeir bulazed mesir kais de echsima karsi. How you understand kinyan shtar? Ma kesher advar. Again, Rashi, here in Gittin, Gimel Beis, has two lashonos when the Mishnah in Pei Vav says, Al Fir Belazar, you could be going for Mishubadim, did he even mean that a shtar chov she'eino chasum fits the bill? According to Rav Elazar, yes, because he had the Messiah currency. An unsigned shtar counts. According to Meir, no, an unsigned shtar doesn't count. What does Meir Elazar have to do with shtar lagabe kol? Bechlal, the differences between shtar milvah b'shtar milvah peh, neither of them seem to be related to kinyan shtar. The one big difference spoke on the past is Adam just proved that the halva occurred. Shtar even proves that it has not yet been paid. You can't even say parati. But that's purely because the shtar chov serves as a raya. Nothing to do with Adam Dechsima, which has to do with shtar kinyan. And even this issue, Bava Basra Kufay and Hey, the Mishnah, Gaviyah for Mishubadim, which the Mishnah Pevav is talking about, has nothing to do with the kinyan shtar. It's a mitzvah of kol. But that's Rabbi Chanan's statement. He, as some of you saw, he discussed it at the end of Siman Beis in Kovetz Biyom Adin. And he said, Tzarachim, not really sure what's going on. So as Shechter quotes in the Rav, the solution lies in moving back to the big question. From the pratiistic question of how you understand two Lashonis and Rashi getting Gimel and Beis to the big broad question. What is Sheep in the Chasam? We, 2 days ago, began to describe phenomenologically what is Sheep in the Chasam. So now you know what Sheep in the Chasam is. What it means is that I go to, I'm the Malva, Elisha's the Lova, I go to the Lova, or I, the CEO of a venture capital firm, I'm the Malva, and Silicon Valley Bank is the Lova, Allah Shalom, and I go to the Lova, and if the Lova has assets to satisfy the full loan, we're good to go. That's Sheep Naguf. If the Lova is not sufficiently liquid, and it does not sufficiently capitalize, the Lova does not own sufficient assets to cover his obligation to me. If he has assets that are illiquid, okay, so we'll make him liquidate, we'll make him turn into cash. But he doesn't have any assets, liquid, illiquid, everything he has. Cash, real estate, artwork, furniture, cars, everything together. Like we were saying 2 days ago. Elisha borrowed $1 million, and now I come to him, Bashas Gavia, and he says, everything I have together, all my net worth is only $750,000. I wish I could pay you. I wish the business would have taken off. I wish I would have cash to spare. Nebuch, I can't. I wish I could. I'm so sorry. So if the Sheep Nechasim, so then after going, after Elisha's present assets, I'll then go for the Nechasim Meshubadim, the real estate they used to own, that he has since sold to Tzvi. And I will be, Beis Din will authorize me to be Toreif, to seize from Tzvi the land, the karka, that he now owns, but Peshas Halva had been the property of Elisha. That's what Sheep in the Chasim is. But the question is, this is our big kasha, our closest kasha, why is that word? What does that mean? You can say the words, but what engine is driving me there? I don't understand. Tzvi owns the house. Tzvi doesn't owe me money. Why am I taking Tzvi's house? That's not fair. I feel bad. I haven't been paid. That's true. It's true that I lent Elisha money and I have not been paid. I feel wronged. But why is that Tzvi's business that I'm out $250,000? Maybe if I need tzedakah, so Tzvi together with the other Jews in town will have a chiyuv tzedakah. But why am I going after Tzvi's property because it used to belong to Elisha? Who cares about history? Who cares about history? It used to be Elisha's, but now it's Tzvi's. Now it's Tzvi's. Why does history matter? Why does history matter? Why does history matter? So the first step is, as this is something that Shechter develops in two successive simanim in Eretz HaTzvi. Simon Chav Gimel is Kuntros Ashtaris. I mentioned earlier the four Kuntresim, where he took Shiurim of the Rav over the years and combined them, the Torah of the Rav on a topic, into a single coherent whole. There are four Kuntresim among the 40 Simanim in Eretz HaTzvi, and this is one of them. And Simen Chav Gimel. Simen Chav Gimel Os Chas, Ches, as well as Simen Chav Beis Os He. In both places, he points out that there's a Ritvan, he's Zochitir, this from him, Baal Peh, many times over the years. The Ritva in Kiddushin begins to explain there's a Ritva in Kiddushin, there's a Nesivos, and Simen Lama Tess, and I would suggest there's also a Rambam, who will give us the first step in understanding what is Shibud. What do they say? So the Nesiva says, it begins Simen Lama Tess. Lama Tess is the first Simen of Chosh Mishpa about the halachas of Halva. Opening Simen and Halachas Halva is Simen Lama Tess. I believe Hilchas Edus runs through Simen Lamed Ches. Simen Lamed Ches is the beginning of Halva. Many Simen Lamed Halva. Opening lines. Open lines, they start talking about. You lend money, you have to pay back. How do you pay back? Shibin Aguf, Shibin Achasim, depends if there's a star, if there's no star. And then the Shach there, and Simen Lamed Ches Sif Alf, has a long, long, long discussion about, well, do we paskin Shibud Daraisa or Lav Daraisa? Machlok is Rabban Ula, Machlok is Amram. How do we paskin? So the Shach shows, the big Machlok is showing him how to paskin. Some Rishonim say Shibud Daraisa, some Rishonim say Shibud Lav Daraisa. So that's the Shach on the top of the page, alongside the Shulchan Aruch. At the bottom of the page, in the Nesivos, in the Ksos Nesivos, Nesivos says, well, what does this all mean? Intriguing. It is an intriguing series. Hini b'feirish to shibuda daraisa. How do you understand this idea shibuda daraisa? Ashita and Amaram luyesh poskim, which is also the psak of some poskim, some rishonim. Apirish the manda Amar the manda sfirle shibuda daraisa. You hold that shibuda daraisa means shibud havi kikinyan. That shibud. It's like a Kenyan. If you hold Shibud Daraisa, that means when I lent money to Elisha, not only did that create a personal obligation of Shibud Aguf, the way the Ron quotes from Anatam, he personally owes me money, but I also, Shibud Nechasim, means that I was Kona, his land. When I lent him money, I lent him $1 million, I was there by Kona, $1 million worth of his karka, of his houses and fields and farms and parking garages and malls, whatever type of karka he owns. Wow. And he said, if you hold Shibud Lav Daraisa, Lamandis, next line, Lamandis really, we're skipping a couple words, Lamandis really Lav Daraisa, says Nesivis, Ha'emes, Diminego Vinmi Daraisa. If you hold Shibud Lav Daraisa, hold Shibud Nechasim doesn't exist in HaTorah. So then, let's just attach names again. Again, who had said what? The Ula had said Shibud Daraisa, right? The Rabbah said Shibud Lav Daraisa. So Siva says, according to Rabbah and according to the Rishonim, whom the Shach quotes apostle like Rabbah, Shibud Lav Daraisa. So what does that mean? Minego v'minatah. Minatorah, there is a Shibud Aguf. It's not that Rabbah thinks there's no such thing as owing money. There is a Shibud Aguf. Minego v'minatah. It's even in our Torah, Elisha himself owes me the money. Rak desvir lady mikano lahaba gova. But Rabbah holds that he just paid me from this point on. In other words, I lent him the money in 2013. The loan comes due in, now in 2023. So I come to Elisha now in 2023. Shibud Aguf means now he's going to pay me based on what he owns now. He owes me the money, and therefore wherever he owns, whatever his property is now, mikano lahaba, now the loan is due, whatever he presently owns, he's going to have to hand over. But below alim b'shas shibud, kikinyan. But back 10 years ago in 2013, when the obligation, when I made the loan, the obligation was originally created, it wasn't a kinyan. I didn't take ownership of his property. We just created a personal obligation. Now the obligation comes due and payable. So whatever he presently owns, he'll have to hand over because he has to satisfy his personal debt to me. Oh, so Nesivos is telling us in the opening lines of Hilchas Halva, that if you hold their shibud, and everyone holds their shibud ultimately, the question is, my term of Gavana, what shibud is that I own your property. Now Tzvi is very worried, because it turns out that Tzvi thought he was buying Elisha's house, but really, I owned it. What? And it's that sort of thing. See what sounds like he's saying. Go back to those words we skipped before. When he's explaining what Shibud is, Shibud havi kikinyan, the eino yachal in kar lahorish. I bought, when I lent $1 million to Elisha, I bought $1 million worth of Elisha's real estate. And therefore, it's not his anymore. He cannot sell it. And if you have, we'll move away from Elisha. You have some other lova, he cannot be morish. He cannot bequeath it to his heirs if the lova passes away because it's not his. That's why the two examples of shibud nechasim is either going after lekuchos or going after yorshim. Either the lova no longer owns it because he sold it, so I'll go to the lekuchos, or the lova passed away. So now he doesn't own it. His heirs, his children, grandchildren, his uncle, whoever was yorish, owns it. So I'm going after the kuchas, I'm going after the ocean, because it never became theirs. It's mine. What? So again, it is true that if Elisha were to sell me his bike, and then before I pick it up, he turns around and sells it to Zev. So what does Zev own? Nothing. Zev got cheated. Elisha sold him something that he didn't own. The classic cliche about selling you the broken bridge. I can't sell you something that I don't own. Ein ada makne davar she'eino shelo. So the hyper classic con trick is I tell you that I have this bridge I want to sell you, and you pay me $1 million to buy the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge isn't mine, so I can give you whatever stars I want, but obviously you were just throwing money away. If you paid me to buy the Brooklyn Bridge, I don't own the Brooklyn Bridge. And that's true always. Even if I used to own a bridge, but I sold it already to Eitan, so then if I subsequently say I'm selling it to Hananel, Hananel may have given me money, but I was just cheating him. I was conning him. I no longer own it. Yesterday I owned it, but I already sold it to Eitan. It's not mine anymore. So when I tell Hananel I'm selling you this bridge, it's not mine, and therefore it's not his. That's what the Nesiva sounds like he's saying. Why is it that I go to Tzvi and I seize his property? Because Elisha wasn't able to sell to Tzvi. Why? Because Elisha already sold his karka to me, to the Malva. Because in a case where the Shibud Nechasim, what Shibud means is that the Malva was kohen of the karka. But you look and you say, but okay, that's the beginning of the Hesber. Shibud works because it's a kinyan. But that's not really the way it works. There's nothing illegitimate about a lova selling karka. He's not a fake or a fraud or a phony when he sells the karka. It's not like it's not his. I mean, even beforehand, who's living in the house? He is, not me. But I'm not treating like my, it's not my land. What does this mean? So you have to develop a little more sophistication about kinyan. So to do that, let's look at two Gemara's Masechet Gittin. The first is the problem. The second is the solution. And that solution will give us an important concept that will help us. We look at Gittin later in our parak, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara mentions a Shita of Rabbi Meir. The very bottom of Gimel Beis. Afilu Rabbi Meir da'amar, three lines from the bottom of Gimel Beis, later in our parak. Afilu Rabbi Meir da'amar, adam makne davar shabol yolam. There is a sheet of Rabbi Meir that adam makne davar shalol bala olam. That a person can sell something that does not yet exist, and the obvious implication is Rabbi Meir holds that way, the other chachamim do not. You see on the side, the Masoret HaShas sends you to a whole host of other Gemaras. This Machlokas, famous Machlokas, whether Adam Machne Davar Shal Baal Olam or Ein Adam Machne Davar Shal Baal Olam, it comes up in Yevamos and in Kiddushin, and we'll get to it soon later in Gittin and in Bava Metzia and numerous places in Bava Basra. This is all over in Asher Mezikin. Whether Adam Machne Davar Shal Baal Olam or not, what does this mean practically? When you sell you something that doesn't yet exist, so Azoy. Right now it's winter. Today it's snowing, so L'chair it's winter. So let's say I own 100 acres of pear trees. I own a big pear orchard. Akiva's convinced that pears this coming summer are going to be a big deal. He's studying the trends in food fads and cuisine, and he's convinced that pears are going to be a hot commodity come summer 2023. He's not interested in becoming a farmer. He's not interested in owning a pear farm. He doesn't want to own pears that all on vine. He just wants to buy this coming summer's crop of pears. So Akiva comes to me and says, Cohen, let's negotiate. I want to buy your summer 2023 crop of pears. When the pears grow in 5-6 months, he wants to now buy them. We'll negotiate whatever it is. $5 a pound. We'll figure out what it is because he's convinced he'll be able to sell it. Pears are going to take off this summer. Good. So, for leaving aside whether a good business idea, bad business idea, the Tanam argue, does it even work? Let's say Akiva and I negotiated. We agreed on the price. We made a kinyan. Is there such a thing? The pears don't exist yet. The pears are going to grow in a few months from now. So the most Tanaim say that's too intangible. That's like a theoretical, right now it's just a hypothetical. The pears that will grow in a few months from now. It's a davar shalom bal yolam. You see the language in front of you? Getting your gimel beis. Davar shalom bal yolam. It's an item that does not yet exist. So most Tanaim said that's not something that's nitpas pekinyan. It's not a davar nitpas pekinyan. You can't sell that. Can I sell you the color blue? Can I sell you brotherhood? I have a brother. I have 3 brothers, Baruch Hashem. Let's say you have a guy that has a lot of sisters, no brothers. So he wants to buy a brother. It doesn't work. Number one, I love my brothers, I'm not giving them away. Number two, you can't buy brotherhood. That's not a davar hanitpas pekinyan. That's an abstract concept. It's not everything can be nikna. You can't sell brotherhood. You can't sell the color blue. The Chachamim say you also cannot sell a davar shelo bal yolam. The pears that will grow in a few months from now, they're not quite as abstract as blue or brother or brotherhood, but still, the Chachamim say that's too abstract. And Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says no. That's already. Rabbi Meir agrees that the color blue is not nitpas pekinyan, besides the fact that I don't own the color blue. And Remeir agrees that you cannot sell brotherhood. But Remeir says the pears that are going to grow a few months from now, especially since, as the Gemara here says, it's avidi da'asu. We'll get that. That's actually a Gemara coming up a little bit later. They're davar shel bal yolam, but they're on the way. Every year, pears grow from these trees. It's a cyclical product. So Meir says it's tangible enough that that's saleable. It's nitzvas bekinyan. And the Chachamim say no. Davar shel bal yolam not nitzvas bekinyan. Okay. That itself is an important concept in your thinking about the mamas. But here's a question. L'maisa, there's a business need. Akiva wants to invest in this coming summer's pear crop. So according to Meir, no problem. Adam machne davar shabal yolam. According to Meir, I do have the capacity to sell him the pears that don't yet exist. But according to the Chachamim, you cannot. And despite the fact that as we're looking before the Masoret HaShas here and getting your Gimel Beis, a long list, Yevamos and Kiddushin particularly, there's a long, long list of Tanaim and Amoraim that held like Meir. But Adam Machne Davar Shelo Bal Yolam. However, although there's a long list in different generations of Tanan before and after Rabbi Meir, as well as Amaron, who held that yes, Adamach Nedavar Shabbalom, we do not paskin that way. We paskin halacha lemaisa ein adamachna davar shelo baliola. Rambam says that clearly in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Chaf Beis. You have in front of you Perek Chaf Gimel. We'll get there soon. And there he references, well, I told you in the previous parak that ein adamachna davar shabbaliola. I told the previous parak that we paskin the chachamim against Reb Meir. You cannot sell the pears that don't yet exist. What do you do? So Perek Chaf Gimel, the Rambam tells you, what's the solution? So let's say Lamaisa Akiva wants to invest in the coming summer's pear crop. Here's what you do. And the Nosa Kenan point out, it's based also, the solution is also based on a Gemara Gin. But for that, the Mesoros HaShas had told us, the other places pops up in Gittin is Mem Beis and Beis. So let's follow instructions. Hitting Mem Beis and Beis. So once again, the same position came out. Now it's four lines for the bottom, instead of three lines for the bottom. The mayor, Adamach Noah Shabalil, Gedolim. And here, on Mem Gimel and Aleph on the top, here you have the Chachamim. See the little letter Aleph? The top of Gimel Aleph. Ain't Adamach Noah Shabalil. Here the Gemara explicitly references both Shittos. And there, the fact that a little letter Aleph is on Reb Chachamim is usually a giveaway, and that's how we paskin. Because those little letters change to Ein Mishmah Ner Mitzvah, which tells you where in this classic Sifrei Halacha is the given line of Gemara quoted. So if that sheet is the one that gets quoted, 9 times out of 10, that means that's how we paskin. You see there, the little letter Aleph, where the top of Gimel Aleph, Mem Yud Yud is Maimini, Rambam, Perek Chav Beis. Hilchas Mechir, Halacha Aleph. There you go. Chav Beis Aleph, the Rambam says, Ein Adamach Nedavar Shabbalom. It tells we're looking the Smad, we're looking the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara here raises an interesting question. They have a segment of the fourth parak that deals with a lot of the halachas of Eved Kanani. A lot of Eved Kanani sugyas in the first parak of Kiddushin, and a lot of Eved Kanani sugyas in the fourth parak of Baruch Shem. Everyone's seen this Gemara, right? Okay. So we'll get a head start in the Bekiyas. Take a look at the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis. At the little letter Hey. 6 lines from the bottom of Git Mem Beis Amud Beis. Ibayilahu, the B'nai Yeshiva, the following Shaila. A couple of weeks ago in the Kriyas HaTorah and Parashas Mishpatim, you had the din that Rachman Litzlan, if a Jew's animal kills a human being, it's a terrible thing. There are dinim that relate to a murderous animal. One of the specifics, a subcase, is if the human being who was killed is an Eved Kanani, so then in addition to everything else that's going on, there's a din of Knas. Shloshim Shekel Shel Eved. The Baal Ashar, aside from everything else that's going to go on, the Baal Ashar has to pay a formal Knas of 30 Shekel to the Baal Eved. That's a din. That's a rare din. There are many dinim of Eved Kanani. This is, Baruch Hashem, a very rare one. Let's say, Reuven owes an Eved Kanani. Shimon is not interested in owning an Eved Kanani, but Shimon is interested in essentially taking out a life insurance policy on the Eved Kanani. Shimon wants to get a Shloshim Shekel Shel Eved. And in case someone else's Shor will kill this Eved, that the payment of Shloshim Shekel should go to Shimon instead of to Reuven. Life insurance. Ibayilahu. There is a market for selling life insurance policies, a legitimate market sometimes for selling life insurance policies. Sometimes it's illegitimate, but there is a legitimate market for selling life insurance policies. This is sort of something like that. Ibayilahu here again, the bottom of Mem Beis and Gittin. Ibayilahu, Evet Shemecharo You gotta get the nekudas right, so you get the grammar right. Eved shemecharo rabo leknas. An eved whose master sold him only with respect to knas. Reuven owns the eved and he plans to maintain the eved. But the eved is going to continue to live in his house, the eved is going to continue to work for Reuven, and Reuven's going to continue to support the eved and pay for food and lodging and so on and so forth. But the one din is going to change. Reuven's going to sell the eved to Shimon only with respect to knas. In case Rachman Litzlan, the eved dies at the horns of a shor hanogeach, so instead of the Baal HaShor paying Reuven, he'll pay Shimon. So obviously Shimon will pay Reuven. Obviously not nowhere near Shloshim Shekel. What are the chances that this happens? Obviously it'll be deeply discounted off of face value, so to speak. But they'll have an actuary. They'll figure out, you know, I'll pay you 2 shekel, I'll pay you 3 shekel, whatever it is. So we're assuming that Reuven and Shimon agreed, but does it work? That same type of question. Is it nitmas? Is this something that's nitan lekini? Macher or ain't a macher? Both Reuven and Shimon agreed, and then the tragic event taka occurred. When Rachman Litzlan the Eved died, but Shor was no geichim. So now the question is, so they come to Beis Din, and Beis Din tells the Baal HaShor, you're going to have to pay Shoshim Shekel. He says, okay, I know the Pasuk in Mishpatim. Nebuch, okay. Nebuch the Eved died, and I feel terrible, and I know I owe Shoshim Shekel. So whom do you pay? So Shimon says, I bought it. Reuven says, you bought what? I'll refund you the 3 shekel that you sold me. There was nothing to buy. Bought cat? What is that? Sounds like very double shaboli olimdik. The Gemara says, by kasta. And the Gemara says, it's even worse than the case of the pear trees. The pear trees, the Gemara says, are at least avidi da'asu. Second line from the bottom. Pear trees, you know, every year the pears grow. So that's meant to come. It's asui labo, avidi da'asu. So there, Reb Meir holds double shaboli olimdik, but it's cyclical. But here, it's unpredictable. You didn't know that it's not like the Eved is a matador. The Eved is a matador and he's in the bullfights, leaving aside all the other halachic hashkafic issues that surround bullfights. Yeah, if the Eved is a professional matador, so then maybe Tavid Dasu, the sooner or later, he's going to meet a tragic end at the horns of an angry ox. But a normal Eved who has a normal job, so it's not a Vididasu. Seems very, very, very super dovish but omdik. But then the Gemara says, and then the Gemara went off because we're focused on the Chachamim. I said, you know what? Even the Chachamim who say, that if I sold the summer crop of pears to Akiva, nothing happened. Take a look at the top line on the Gemara. B'tibayle Rabbanan, it's a shaylin l'korit Rabbanan. Yeah, but it's true the Chachamim hold, and that's how we paskin. But when do they say that? You're selling me the fruits of the palm tree, or as we said, the fruits of the pear tree. The fruits don't exist yet. Right now, at the time of the Kinyan, in the winter, early spring, the fruits aren't here yet. So that's a davar, shalabol yolam. Aval hacha, what happened here? What did Reuven sell Shimon? Did he sell him the knas? No. What was the language? Eved shemecharo rabo leknas. Reuven sold the Eved leknas. He didn't sell the knas. I sold you a real tangible asset. The Eved is here right now. As the Gemara says, Hacha Hakoi Shar, the Hakoi Eved. The Shar exists, okay. And even more to the point, the Eved exists. The Eved is here and tangible. And Tosfos, back on Mbeiz and Mbeiz, has a Nusach. When he's talking out the Gemara, let's see. It's a very Pirish Rashi diketosis. He's really just unpacking the Gemara. Take the bottom tosis. Mochar kenashal eved lo mi boilei. The shaila was not that I sold the knas. That's mamish. Davar shebe olam. Even Meir wouldn't hold to that. Even Meir holds the davar shebe olam, but it has to be avida da'asu. Oshkan and Rabbanim. Ella, give me another 90 seconds. Then the chara rabo liknas mi bayla. Tosis makes that deal. It's not that you're signing the knas. You're signing the evet with respect to knas. Dilma filo rabbanim karnulu. Here we go. Kimo dekel liperosa. That's a solution to the commercial problem. How can Akiva invest in the summer crop of pears? The answer is, according to the Chachamim, I cannot sell him the pears. They don't yet exist. But I could sell him dekel liperosa. I could sell him the tree already exists. I have 100 acres of pear trees. That's a tangible asset that's already extant. I could sell you the pear trees. What am I selling? Not selling the pear trees fully. I'm selling you the pear trees only with respect to owning the pears. We have to figure that out a little more. That's what the Rambam says very clearly at the beginning of Hilchot Mechir Parachav Gimel. It's rooted in the Gemara in Gittin. This is a Mamash a Gittin topic that we just saw. Davshav Olam is all over Shas. But specifically the idea of Dekel Perosav, it appears here and there in different places, but the most central source is Gittin Mem Beis Mem Gimel. We're going to understand this some more. Still not sure what does it mean. We're going to work it out some more. This is going to be the key to understanding what is Shibud, Bichlal, and then Befrat, understanding what are Rashi and Tosis saying here in Gittin Gimel and Beis about the nature of Shtar Chov and the relationship between Gvim and Mishabdi on the one hand, and Edei Mesir Karasin on the other hand. Enjoy your lunch.
Selling you the deck. So why?